Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Paul is encouraging us to have a different kind of attitude. Alexander the Great, he was sitting on his throne in the kingly hall, and all of a sudden the doors swung open and the prosecutor is bringing this young man before him. And the young man is very young. He's fair haired. He doesn't even look old enough to shave. But Alexander the Great asked the prosecutor, "What's the charge?" And the prosecutor said, "Cowardice in the face of battle." Alexander looked at the young boy and said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Worthy King, my name is the same as yours, Alexander." This prompted Alexander to jump up, leap down and grab him from the collar and said, "Either change your name or change your attitude." What about us? As Christ comes in the presence of God's word, and the Apostle Paul says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is not saying that each of you need to go and die on a cross for people. But he's saying you need to have a different attitude. You need a different behavior. Because we live in a world that is steaming with different behaviors. This petition and that petition. This walk and this walk. This march and this march. We're going to march against guns. We're going to march against abortion. We're going to march against death. We're going to march against execution. We're going to march against alcohol. We're going to march against drugs. This is the world we're living in. A world that has so many things going wrong inside of it. And Paul writes here for us to change our attitude. Our attitude of not of the world. And there's the other thing, not just the marches and everything else, but the commercials that come on, that you have to buy the biggest truck or the shiniest vehicle or something that just jumps out of the snow for you to be a worthy person. The world is trying to change us to be like them. Paul says, have your attitude like this, that of Christ Jesus, who became a humble servant. And what did Jesus do in the upper room? On the night in which he was betrayed, he took a towel and wrapped it around him, and he began to wash the feet of his disciples as a humble servant, as one who gave himself. And Paul is writing for us to have the same kind of attitude. To look for the others and to have that special kind of attitude that reaches out and has that attitude in our lives that transforms us. That transforms us into looking at a glass of water and seeing it half full instead of half empty. Looking at each other as a brother or sister in Christ that is in need of forgiveness and love. The word love, as John writes in his first epistle, fourth chapter, is one that reaches out to one another. And it's a special kind of love. It's called an agape love. No strings or conditions attached. It's one of reaching out to others, because we have that love that reaches into our lives that has transformed us. That transformation began at our baptism, when the pastor said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." God grabbed us and called us his own child. As the prophet Isaiah writes, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine." The Apostle Paul reiterates those words in the 14th chapter of his book to the Romans, his letter to the Romans, when Paul says, if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We are the Lord's child because he grabbed hold of us. He gave us a new attitude, a new behavior. One that doesn't look with malice upon another person, but looks on another person with love. And when we speak together the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive my sins, my trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." God is calling us to forgive the sins of others because we have this transformation that we're changed individuals, that we keep on changing in this transformation into a loving, caring person, child of God. It's a new attitude. And that lives with this special kind of attitude that's thankful. Living with thanksgiving. Living with thanking God for all things. And then thanking our spouse, our children, our grandchildren. A week ago, yesterday, we had our son Paul down working on something for us that has befuddled our minds. And of course, our son Paul is a machinist. He knows how to do these things. And he says, "Why don't you ever call me?" Because he can do all this stuff. And besides Paul, he brought four of our grandkids with him. Four? Five. See, I lost track already. Five grandkids. And in our little house, and they were able to go out and play on the brown grass, which, by the way, we still have. We only got a little bit of snow the other night. Not much. But they were able to go out and play, out and throw the ball around, running in and out the house. It was fantastic. And that's the way God wants us to have a life. And he wants us to be thankful for those people. He wants us to be thankful for what we do with each other. He wants us to be thankful that we're able to gather here in his house and hear his word. His word of life, his word of salvation in Jesus. Whenever I read Philippians, I've got this mindset that Paul is dictating this letter to one who's just outside the iron gate. They let someone come in and sit there with Paul, and Paul dictates this letter as he's chained to the walls in prison. Amazing letter. Not of hate and anger, but one of love. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's in the first chapter of Philippians. And now may my God fill you with all joy. That's in the fourth chapter. And in between, it's just speaking of love and care and keeping. And here he says, have this attitude for yourselves. That is in Christ Jesus and him alone. A different kind of attitude. A different kind of love. So Albert Schweitzer. Anybody hear of this character? He was a medical doctor. But he had also degrees in philosophy and theology. And he was working with a medical mission in Africa. And he came home on furlough. And in those days, they just rode the train for transportation. And there was a group of reporters that heard how he was coming home and how great this man was. He was also an accomplished organist that I read. And so they're there to report, to take, you know, they want to talk to him. They figured he'd be in first class. No, he wasn't in first class. All of a sudden they turn around and there he is. Where were you? He was in third class. And so they asked him, why were you in third class? And he said, because there was no fourth class. Well, this is the kind of attitude that Paul wants us to have. Have this attitude that's in yourself as he begins this letter in the second chapter of Christ Jesus, who humbled himself in the very nature of God and took on himself the cross and died for us so that we would have a new nature, that we would have a new attitude. And that attitude would be looking to Christ and thanking him for all things and also helping our brothers and sisters to see this Jesus as we continue to live in this world. God empowers us by his Holy Spirit that we can reach out and help others. In Christ's holy name, amen.